Well, turn with me, if you will, over to Mark chapter 2. Today, Mark chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 1 through 12. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 is where we're going to be today. I love this story. It's a familiar passage probably with most of us. It's a great story of Jesus being our forgiver and our healer. And, you know, compassion is one of the things that Jesus probably is most recognized for. His compassion for the sick, those who are oppressed. I mean, those are defining characteristics of Jesus. But guys, we need to understand something. As good as those characteristics are, and those are great things, and Jesus was all about that, the compassion of our Savior was not the main reason he came to earth. The fact that he healed people, the fact that he helped those who were oppressed, was not his main goal in coming to the world. Sickness and oppression, these are symptoms of a bigger problem. And that bigger problem is sin, right? Those things stem from sin. These things exist in our world because it's fallen, it's sinful, it's broken. And guys, unless the root cause of our problem in the world today is addressed, any solution to sickness and suffering is temporary at best. It's temporary. And so we need to understand something. Forgiveness is our most critical need in life. And the passage that we're going to read this morning talks about this. And so let's read it together. And let's discover how we can apply this passage to our lives today. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When he entered Capernaum again after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway, and he was speaking the message to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic carried by four men. And since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above where he was. And when they had broken through, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." But some of the scribes were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And right away, Jesus understood in his spirit what they were thinking like this within themselves. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your mat and walk?' But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on this earth to forgive sins," he told the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, and go home." Immediately he got up, picked up his mat, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So a story of forgiveness, a story of healing. And so this morning, we're going to talk about Jesus, our great forgiver and our great healer. The first thing that I want us to understand about this passage, which really looks at the heart of Jesus, looks at the heart of God, number one is this: Jesus wants people to know him. Jesus wants people to know him. I know that's understood. I know that we get that, but sometimes we need a reminder. Because when we look at the world around us and we see the sinfulness and we see all the oppression and the hatred and the lawlessness going around, we get tired of seeing it. But these are the people that Jesus Christ loves. These are the people that Jesus died for. And we need to understand from the stories we see this, Jesus wants people to know him. Capernaum had become kind of like a base of operations for Jesus while he was in Galilee. And that's probably why Mark referred to it as Jesus' home. Now, this home that he was in may have been a home that he set up with his mother Mary, or it may have been Peter's home. We don't know exactly whose home it was, but no matter where Jesus was, wherever he went, There was not any secrecy involved. People wanted to be around Jesus. And such was the case here. A crowd had gathered in his home where he was, and the crowd was so big, Mark says, that they filled the house, and there was no more room, not even in the doorway. I mean, they were not practicing social distancing that day. And I praise the Lord one day when we can get over that as well here. And that will come. We have to have faith, and we know that it'll eventually come. But this crowd was so big where they filled their house, and there was no more room, not even in the doorway. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus' response was here, or maybe what it wasn't, okay? He didn't say, guys, listen, I don't have time for you. Listen, you're tracking mud into my house. You know, I just vacuumed this carpet. I just cleaned this floor. Look what you're doing to it. None of those things were said that day, okay? The Bible says that he took time to speak the word to them. And that word that's used there, the Greek word for speaking, means it was done in a conversation, meaning he was having a conversation about the good news with them. He was sharing the gospel of the kingdom of God with this crowd. As I think about this story, and I think about my life personally, and I want you to think about your life, who are the people that you need to have a conversation of the gospel with? Who are the people that do you need to have a conversation about the gospel with? Let me ask you a further question. Do you even pray for them regularly? Do you have a list of people that you pray for on a regular basis that God would open up the door for you to share the gospel with them? Listen, we need to understand something. As I think about this story, sharing the gospel is not a job. It's not a duty. Okay, sometimes we look at it like that. It's an opportunity to share the hope of God with someone. Jesus didn't look at sharing the gospel. He didn't look at sharing the good news because it was duty. It was his duty. He looked at sharing the gospel as an opportunity to lead someone to having a relationship with God. And guys, we need to understand something as we share the gospel, as we talk with people about spiritual things. An essential part of sharing the gospel involves telling them why and how we became Christians. Telling them our story, if you will. This is who I was. I met Jesus. This is who I am now. This is what he's done in my life. This is the evidence that God has done in my life. This is who I was, you know. And God came in, he changed my life, and here I am now. He forgave me of my sin, all this stuff. And that's an essential part of sharing the gospel. It involves telling them why and how we became Christians. And thinking deeply about how God has worked graciously in our lives can in fact be one of the best motivators for telling others about Jesus. That's what being a witness is, right? It's simply sharing what we've seen and heard. If you were to call to be a witness on a case, you would go before that jury and you would tell your story, what you saw and what you heard, what your experience was. And that's what being a witness is. So thinking deeply how God has worked in our lives is one of the best motivators in telling others about Jesus. If someone, let me ask you a question. If somebody gave you a 3-minute opportunity, what exactly would you say about your faith? Could you put it in a little concise, little 3-minute presentation, maybe even a couple of minutes? Could you share with them, maybe that's all you had. Maybe, you know, you're at a grocery store or you're in line somewhere or you're on the phone with someone or you're at the gas station filling up your car and you just have a conversation with someone. Could you, if you needed to, share your faith in this little 2 or 3 minute window of time? What exactly would you say about your faith and how you came to believe in Christ? What would you be able to share your testimony? Would you be able to share with others the hope that you have inside of you? Sometimes that's all we have. And so if you say, well, yeah, I have a personal testimony, but I don't know if I could do that, then work on it. You know, as you're getting ready in the morning, as you're showering, as you're brushing your teeth, whatever you do to get ready for the day, work on it. Look at yourself in the mirror. Share the gospel with yourself in the mirror. It's practice. Do it with your family. Do it with your kids. Share your testimony with your family. That's a good opportunity to practice. And listen, whenever you're in any kind of a situation, whether it be a new job or you're playing sports or whatever, what makes you better? It's reps, right? Doing something over and over and over again. We need reps. And so take that opportunity to learn. Jesus wants people to know him. And the way that people know him is by us sharing our faith with others. So that's number one. Jesus wants people to know him. Number two, kind of goes right in hand here with number one. Number two, we need to bring people to Jesus. Verses 3 and 4. The paralyzed man in the story had some very caring friends, didn't he? I mean, they went to great lengths to bring their friend to Jesus. They loved their friend so much, they were literally willing to carry him on a mat. Not only that, to climb up on a roof and to remove the roof and to lower him down so he could get to Jesus. That is dedication. That is motivation to do something. And not only that, they had to be very creative, like I said, to get their friend inside the house where Jesus was. So they cut that hole in the roof so they could lower him down. And I think, you know, I'm not a very creative person. But I could carry someone if I had to. But what are some creative ways to bring our friends and loved ones to Jesus? You know, this story illustrates the importance of bringing people to Jesus. There are people that we encounter every day in our lives who have physical and spiritual needs. Do we care enough about them to bring them to Jesus? Do we care enough about them to do whatever it takes to share the gospel with them? You know, at the food pantry right now, because of the virus, we're having to do things differently, and I don't like it because it really keeps us from having really deep conversations with people. I mean, basically, we're doing curbside. People drive up. We bring their stuff to their car, and they're on their way. We don't spend a whole lot of time with them. And I don't like that. And people say, well, we ought to keep it that way. But I'm thinking, if we keep it this way, then we're never going to be able to have deep conversations with people. And our job is more than just feeding them. We need to have conversations. I want us to be able to spend time talking with people. And I know eventually we'll get back there. Right now we have to do it this way. And we do our best to talk with people as best we can. But it's not the same. There are people that come to the pantry who have deep spiritual needs beyond physical needs. And we have to pay attention to people around us. In the story here, the crowd that had gathered made it possible to bring the paralyzed man close to Jesus. It made it impossible. And sometimes we're so busy and we're so preoccupied that we become oblivious to the people outside our church who need Jesus. And so our church has to be a place, when they enter this place, they know that we're loving, they know that we're serious about reaching our culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you something here this morning. I know that some of you are working really hard to bring people to Jesus, really hard to bring people to the church. And I want you to know something, that if you bring them, they're going to hear the gospel in some way. Because, you know, I read a statement by a gentleman by the name of J.R. Lees one time. He made this statement and he said, every Sunday is somebody's one day. And that's so true. So if you bring someone to church, I guarantee you they're going to hear the gospel. Because that may be their one shot. And I know you've been working hard, so let's bring people to Jesus. We need to bring people to Jesus. Number three, this story illustrates that Jesus heals and forgives. That Jesus heals and forgives. You know, you might expect Jesus, who is extremely popular and the center of attention, to be annoyed that someone is being lowered through the roof. I mean, if somebody was cutting a hole in my roof, I'd probably be a little aggravated about that. And he wasn't. I don't understand that, but I mean, he's Jesus and I'm not, okay? I mean, after all, Jesus had already done so much healing around Capernaum. You might think, listen, you might think that Jesus would say, I'm tired, I need some time alone, but he wants people to hear his message. And the Bible says that Jesus saw the faith of the paralytic's friend, and as a result, what did he do? He healed the man, right? Now, there was two different types of healing here. First, his first words were, son, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. To use the word son meant that Jesus was using a term of affection here. He wasn't just an ordinary man. Jesus felt a closeness with this guy. He said, son, your sins are forgiven. But why did Jesus say first, your sins have been forgiven? You know, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is not saying that we can measure a person's spiritual health by looking at his or her physical health. But we do have people that are physically sick, yes. The reason we have sickness and death in this world is because of sin, and the wages of sin is death. The reason this man was paralyzed is because we live in a sinful and fallen world. The reason we have coronavirus going rampant through our culture today is because we live in a sinful, fallen world, and bad things happen as a result of sin. The reason this man was paralyzed is because we live in a sinful world. It's the result of the sin of humanity. So the man was lowered down through the roof. He needed spiritual healing first. And that's what Jesus offered. The same forgiveness given to the paralytic man is the same forgiveness that is offered to all who will believe on the name of Jesus Christ. When we're forgiven, it means our sins have been put away, taken away, and forgiven. Jesus paid the penalty of our sin. He deserves that we deserve, so they can no longer be held against us. That's the gospel. Also, the guilt caused by our sin is removed and replaced with the righteousness of Christ, and we receive eternal life. We need to understand something. Christianity, first and foremost, is about Jesus, right? It's about Jesus. And what is Jesus full of? Hope and forgiveness. A healer and a forgiver. And it showed here in this story Jesus' power and authority. But you know, the man didn't just receive spiritual healing. He also received physical healing. What did Jesus tell the man after he said, your sons are forgiven? Get up, get off your mat, and go home. It showed again that Jesus not only had power to forgive sin, he had the power and the authority to heal people physically. And Jesus, guys, still has the power and authority to heal people physically. I know that we all pray for people to be healed physically. And still, Jesus is in the business of healing people physically. Do you pray for people to be healed? Do you believe in faith that he's going to do it? You know, faith is important. Faith is important. That's why it's important as we pray that we have faith. So Jesus heals and forgives. This man was healed spiritually. He was healed physically. But there's one more thing that I want us to notice in this story. The scribes. Point number four, there'll always be people who are critical. There'll always be people who are critical. When the scribes heard Jesus tell the paralyzed man that his sins were forgiven, they were appalled. They were shocked that Jesus would say such an outrageous thing. Because for Jesus to claim to forgive sins to them was considered blasphemy. In Jewish law, blasphemy was punishable by death. You didn't do stuff like that. And so the scribes and the Pharisees were famous for criticizing anything that Jesus did. They were cynical toward him every step of the way. Why? It's because he threatened their way of life. They were no longer the center of spiritual attention. Plus, Jesus called them names like a brood of vipers, hypocrites, sons of hell, stuff like that. They didn't like that. They didn't like it one bit. So they fought him every step of the way. Let me just say, sharing the gospel is hard work. Kingdom work is hard work. And there will always be people who question us or who are cynical. Guys, we have to have tough skin. We have to have thick skin. Let me just say, don't quit. Don't give up. Stay with it. Because here's the thing. Jesus is worth it. Amen? Jesus is worth it. Let me just say something here that probably we understand. This world hates Jesus. Now, they don't hate the baby in a manger. They don't hate the fact that Jesus healed people and he raises the dead. They hate the fact that Jesus came into this world to say, I came to destroy the works of the devil. And so that tells us that Jesus came to destroy sin. He came to destroy things like abortion and sexual immorality. He came to destroy pride and greed and racism and hatred. And for that, the world hates him. And they hate those who follow him. Jesus came to defeat sin. And as we follow him, the world's going to hate us as well. But because Jesus loves the world so much, and because this message is so important, let me just say, he's worth the criticism. Amen? He's worth the criticism. He's worth the misunderstanding. He's worth the persecution. Because the message of the gospel is important. I want you to notice again what the crowd said in verse 12. Look at verse 12. It says, immediately he got up, picked up the mat, the paralytic man. He went out in front of everyone. And notice this. As a result, they were all astounded and did what? They gave glory to God, saying, we have never seen anything like this before. Never seen anything like this. You know, wouldn't it be great if we heard stuff like that on a consistent basis? I pray that we'll hear these words from time to time in our church. As people come, we've never seen anything like that before. And I'm talking about good things, not bad things. I'm talking about spiritual things. You know, the story of the paralytic is a story of personal healing and the story of how friends help one another on their spiritual journey. And Jesus saw into the hearts of these friends of this paralytic man, and they perceived their love for their friend and their assistance, their perseverance, their care, their motivation to bring their friend in for healing. They could move and their friend couldn't. And so they did whatever it took to bring this man to Jesus. I wonder if we're going to be this kind of friend to the people around us. Do we truly understand that Jesus wants people to know him? I'm thankful for verses like Romans 10:13 that says, for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone means everyone, right? Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord does not delay his promises. Some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Jesus wants people to know him. So are we in the habit of bringing people to Jesus? Do you look for opportunities to share with others? Are you paying attention to people's spiritual needs? Jesus heals and forgives. That's got to be our message. to people who are living in brokenness. There are a lot of people that are messed up. And you get into one thing and you peel back one layer and there's like 10 other things that you didn't even know were underneath there. Last year when we were getting our bathroom remodeled, we were planning on keeping the floor in our master bathroom. And as the guy that was doing our shower, he began to realize some water had gotten underneath the floor. Sounds familiar, right, Stefan? And he said, listen, he called me and said, I can't save your floor. I could put it back over here, but you're still going to have that water and you're going to have trouble. The best thing to do is tear everything out, replace the wood, and start over. So when he started peeling it back, he revealed something underneath that we didn't see. And that's what happens sometimes whenever we get into people's lives. We peel back one layer and there's all this other stuff. Man, people are living in brokenness. Their lives are messed up. And our message to them has to say, you know what? Jesus can heal and forgive you. Sometimes that's just what people need to hear. I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care how broken you are. I don't care what you're involved in. I want you to know, friend, that I'm praying for you. But beyond that, Jesus heals and forgives. Why don't you follow Jesus? You know, when Jesus called his disciples, and we talked about this on Wednesday nights, what did Jesus go up to Matthew and say? Did he give a long spiel about, hey, you know, I'm the Savior of the world, I'm the Messiah, and all this stuff? What did he go up to Matthew and say? Follow me. Simple, follow me. Why don't we tell that to people? We feel like we have to tell them all this stuff. You know, you gotta confess your sins, blah, blah, blah. And that's all important. I'm not saying that. But why don't we start by saying, why don't you follow Jesus? Why don't you discover who Jesus is? Why don't you look into his life? And then you know what begins to happen as people follow Jesus? He begins to transform their hearts. They become somebody different. It's a simple message. Follow Jesus. He'll completely heal and forgive you. Another question, when others are cynical of you, what is your response? Do you shut down or do you keep plugging away? It's easy to shut down when we get discouraged. It's easy to close up and shut down when things get difficult. But we got to keep going. As my mom used to say, suck it up. Suck it up. Kingdom work is hard. So guys, we have to decide to do the hard things. Remember what Jesus said the most important thing was, Matthew 6:33? The kingdom. Nothing more important than the kingdom of God. That's our most important priority, his kingdom. So let's do it. Father, we thank you today for this glorious story, this message of hope, this message of forgiveness, this message of healing. Father, you are calling upon us to bring our friends to Jesus, to offer the forgiveness of Jesus to others. And I pray that you would convict us and motivate us to do just that. We thank you, Father, that you love humanity enough that you sent your Son to be the sin bearer, the receiver of punishment, the one who was bruised and afflicted and smitten on the cross for the sake of others. Father, may that be our message. May that be on our mouths and may it be in our heart. Father, we just ask you to work among us now. We love you and we praise you. And we ask all this in the powerful and in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Andrew's going to lead us in a song of commitment, and perhaps this morning the Lord has spoken to you about a decision that you need to make, a commitment that you need to make to him personally. And so I would ask you, as we sing this song, that you'd make that commitment to him. You can just tell it to him. You say, oh, I don't know what to say. Just talk to him. There's no right or wrong words. Just have a conversation with Jesus. You talk to people all the time. That's what prayer is. Just talking to Jesus. Tell him your heart. Share with him your concerns, your hurts, your brokenness, your commitment, whatever he's calling you to do today. And beyond that, when you do it, contact me this week and we can talk about it further. Contact somebody else. I'd be glad to talk with you about any decision that you have or any question you might have. So as we sing the song of commitment today, let's make our decision for Christ. Let's stand together as Andrew leads us. You make your